I'm gonna talk about results that relate to the same overall subject, to the same general subject, talking about length distribution, and we will go over a few factors that affect the shape and the features and the different features of the length distribution. But let's go over a few facts or a few things that we now know are proven facts. First is that length distribution has complex shape features. This is not a secret for anybody. We've been working with data representing length distribution of cotton fiber for Dr. Robert for more than about 30 years, maybe. Myself, I've started this research a few years ago, and the more you work with the fiber length distribution, the more you realize how complex the factor that affected, and the more you realize how the feature how are complex, and that's due to the factors or to the multiple interactions that affect those features. That distribution is also highly variable. It varies among cottons, and it varies among processing phases or processing conditions. And finally, that distribution features are related to other fiber properties. And the main properties are listed here. Those are maturity, fineness, and strength. All those, or those three fiber properties, relate to the propensity of the fibers to break, or relate to the strength of the fiber, which by affecting the breakage of the fiber affects the shape of the length distribution. Now, a few results that illustrate those facts. For example, if we take three different cottons at the bale level, and we look at the different shapes that we encounter when we look at length distribution. Those are distributions that were measured using the APHIS. We see that, for example, for these three cottons, maturity, fineness, and strength, or as maturity, fineness, and strength decrease, we have kind of a deformation or a change in the shape of the length distribution. It goes from somewhat bimodal, or slightly bimodal, if we can measure the bimodality or quantify the bimodality distribution, to a clearly bimodal shape. And then once we get to the weakest cotton, we have kind of a plateau here. This is more like a unimodal distribution. Now, if we take the same cotton but at different steps of the process, which means different breakage intensity or different damage degrees, we see a similar transition to from bimodal distribution with a very small mode or a very small peak at the short fiber range, to a clearly bimodal distribution, and then to a unimodal distribution. So the change in this modality and the change in the shape of the distribution relates to the increase in the damage or in fiber damage. Now, we know that this shape or this distribution is the result of the interaction between intrinsic factors, which are genetic and plant-related factors, the position of or maybe environmental factors, and process-related factors. That's what makes this shape so complex. That's what makes these transitions from one shape to another so complex. And when we look at those distributions, we can basically model those different influences, the intrinsic and process-related influences, by two different components. And looking at length distribution, Dr. Robert does it using breakage model. I do it using the mixture distribution model, which is a more statistical approach. And by basically determining those two components, we can, at any point of the process, or at least we assume that we can right now, at any point of the process, isolate the intrinsic component, the genetic component, and the process-related component. And you see that for this example, we see that as damage increases, we have a decrease in this intrinsic component and an increase in the process-related component. And you also notice the change in modality of the distribution as damage increases. So now how we're going to use this, we all know that breeders work on length or on net distribution in order to improve the uniformity of the crop. But the problem is when you have a distribution that you observe at one point of the process, at even at the bale level or after it was ginned, you have a certain degree of damage that's in there. So what you're observing is not the native distribution. What's observed is the native distribution plus an effect or a contribution of the process. And that's problematic for breeding because that process component is not necessarily heritable. So using this approach, we may be able to basically demix the distribution into its native or genetic component and process component. This will allow, for example, breeders to focus on the genetic components, which makes breeding more more effective and prevents all kinds of interactions that may change rankings between new lines. And then processors can focus on the process-related factors in order to optimize the process. And that's the ultimate objective of this demixing of the distribution. And this, you can see that this can be done at any point of process, wherever the degree of damage of the distribution we're talking about, either early in the process or later on. So this will allow again the focus on breeding. But before we can achieve this breeding objective, we need to make sure we determine the features that are heritable that breeders can use in order to select new lines with improved distribution features. And we need to make sure those features do not interact with the process, because again, if those features are heritable and then interact with the process, we have to be very careful with what kind of ginning is done, what kind of cleaning is done before we test the fibers. And that's not necessarily that, or that those conditions are not necessarily present in all breeding programs. So the question now is to determine what are the heritable features and what are the features that interact with processing. And just to give you an idea about how we're going to quantify those features, basically each of these components has probability density function, which is white bull distribution, and each of these components is represented by two parameters, a scale parameter and then a shape parameter. And the proportion of this component is represented by what's called the mixing weight. And so basically the entire equation is a five parameter equation, which represents each of the component plus the weight or the proportion of the mixture. And we see those parameters listed here. So we're going to try to determine the genetic or the sources of variability of each of these parameters based on those factors listed on the bottom. And to do this, we had different approaches. The first approach was to take commercial bales and then run these through processing, opening, fine opening, and all spinning preparation processes. fiber samples were taken from the bales and from the processed lint and tested on aphids. And that's the part where we determine the interaction with the process of those parameters. And then another phase of the research is concerned with five varieties that were grown over two seasons, and they were stripper harvested, ginned with different cleaning intensities. Again, the lint was tested on aphids. And now the current phase is to go more into the heritability study with 25 experimental lines that were grown over two locations. Right now we have the first season harvested and no testing was done on those seasons. We have all those samples that were that are ready. And the ultimate objective of here is to first to determine the broad sense heritability of each of these parameters. But what I'm going to show you now are results that relate to these two phases, the first two phases. And first, we're going to start with the mixing weight. Remember the weight, the proportion of the two components. And looking at the variation of this parameter with the process, we see that it is significantly affected by damage at the card. Now, we want to look at the scale parameter of the short fiber component. This again affected by damage at the card. Its shape parameter is also affected by damage at the card, significantly affected by. And when we go to the second component, you know, the symmetrical bell-shaped component, we see that its scale parameter is not affected by damage, at least not significantly. Looking at each shape parameter, it's slightly affected by damage at the guard. So basically, what this shows that the position of this component is not related to damage. It appears to be constant, whatever the degree of damage that that the fibers incur, which means that this parameter may not or has no interactions with the process. Now, second phase, we looked at the variation of all the parameters over the two seasons and across the varieties. Again, we have a third season that we haven't tested yet, but tests are ongoing. And we see that the mixing weight is not significantly affected by variety, but it is slightly affected by season, and there's no interaction, no significant interaction. The scale parameter of the short fiber component is not affected by variety nor by season. Its shape parameter is also or does not vary with these two factors. Finally, we have a significant variation of the scale parameter of the long fiber component with variety, but not with season. So it appears to have a certain degree of variability across variety or genetic variability. Finally, the shape parameter of that component is not affected by variety nor by season. So to sum up, in addition to the fact that this shape parameter has no interaction with the process, it shows, we cannot affirm yet that it's heritable without a heritability study, but it has the potential, it shows a degree of variability with variety. So it has the potential to be a heritable net distribution feature. And that parameter shows the potential of being used in breeding for length distribution. Now, just to summarize all these results, we have three parameters that appear to be impacted by the process, or that appear to represent the impact of the process. Those are the mixing weight, and the two parameters of the short fiber component. And we have one parameter that appears to represent the native length or genetic potential of the distribution, of the length distribution. And that's the scale parameter of the long fiber component. So basically the objective now is to use those, again, those parameters to quantify the genetic variability as or within a heritability study, a specific heritability study. And there's another component that we're also looking at with colleagues from the plant and soil sciences at Texas Tech, is to look at the plant seed or plant variability or plant related variability of those components. And again, this new model or this new parameterization of the length distribution has been proven to give us the or enable us to demix those components, and that's all we need basically to quantify each of those genetic and process related sources of variability. With this, I'll thank you for your attention. I'll have more results about this last heritability study as we progress in the project. And I would like to acknowledge the support of the Texas Department of Agriculture, who are funding this project. Thank you. Any questions?
Comments? Yes. First of all, I think you're right on with the work. I'm very pleased to see that. One little distinction is that you had characterized the, let's call it the genetic component, as having no interaction with the process component. And no dependence on the on the process component, which I think is technically correct. But it's also important to emphasize that the process component may be or is dependent on the cotton property component, so that the process component statistics properties are not independent of the cotton.
Yes.
Maybe the cotton properties may be independent of what you ultimately do to it.
Yes, that's certainly true. And the genetic influence or the genetic source of variability that can affect this distribution are two different ways. There's the actual native distribution that is genetically determined, and then there's the propensity to break, or the cotton's propensity to break, that will affect the process-related component. So that's the process-related component is certainly also affected by the, as I said, by the maturity, the strength, and the fineness of the fiber, and those are properties that can be affected by the genetics, basically. So genetics are behind the two components, but the process or the native distribution is, we hope, genetically determined. Well, we're trying. I mean, all this collaboration with breeders. This work is not done by myself. I mean, to do the heritability or to achieve, to work on the heritability study, I'm working with breeders again from Texas Tech, from the Plant and Soil Science Department, and I mean, by working on this jointly, I'm sure there's going to be more and more awareness about what this represents. I mean, from a practical viewpoint, there's at least one benefit of this, is that if we can isolate this genetic component, we don't have to worry about interactions with ginning, for example. If I don't know if breeders have a certain number of lines that they harvest and then they gin over one day, even over one day, on a laboratory gin that's not in controlled conditions, breakage may be different in the morning and in the afternoon. So within that ranking in the lines or in the new lines, there's that breakage that may affect the selection, and doing this will at least remove that impact. Of,
it may also allow them to independently study the propensity to suffer damage.
Yes, that's one.
Which may be an equally important breeding goal, but one that you can only achieve if you can sort it out.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree with that. So. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes, it's a viable distribution. Both components are viable distributions. Yeah. No. No, there's the only reason for that for this specific model is that that was the best fit. That's the only reason.
Actually, there is a reason for that. If the originating distribution is symmetric in mass, now Murad uses numbered distributions.
Mm-hmm.
Start with a Gaussian distribution in mass and break it according to the random process. The fragment distribution is a viable distribution, exponential viable in number. I've got a mathematical proof of that somewhere. We'll publish it. But that part of the model is the same. I also suspect we haven't got enough pencil pushing time. Show it that that the exponential viable that a Gaussian is an exponential viable.
Yes, that's fine. Well, actually, at some point of
zero breakage.
Yes, that's that can be. Yes. Yes, and one of the things I'm using this model for, I'm trying now to generalize it to breakage in general. I mean, it's not just a cotton fiber, but there are other particles that I found apply or could use this model. So it's looked at from two different perspectives, but it may all relate to the same phenomena. All right. Thank you. We're going to move on to